Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I'm John Schmelk. He's Jeff Fiegels.
Hello,
and the phone number for you, hello, Jeff, is 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. I will look at some of your tweets over the course of the show as well. Rookie minicamp started today. Well, I guess officially it started yesterday when the guys arrived and got checked in, but their first day of work on the field is today. They had their walkthrough earlier this morning, and they have their full practice today around 3 o'clock or so. I think 2:50 is the official start time of that practice. So we'll have coverage of that for you, of course, right here on Giants.com. Thank you for joining us. No guests today, so it'll be mostly your calls and us at 201-939-4513. And, Jeff, you're the only former player that's on these shows, as much as Dottino likes to think himself as a former player, and Lance thinks himself as a current player sometimes.
Yeah,
but
both.
Give an idea of what this 2 or 3 day period is like for these guys in rookie minicamp. You know, basically having the kitchen sink thrown at them, and they got to figure out what to do with it.
Well, I think that's part of the process of evaluation for the coaches to see what these guys can pick up. I think, you know, when you look at the draft picks that are here, John, I feel, you know, those guys are they probably get a little bit more paid attention to because they know that they're going to be in their plans going forward. But the other 50-something guys that are here, I don't know. I was out there earlier looking at it. There's a lot of people here. And I will tell you this. No longer are the days where you have tape on the helmets and the names are written on there because they all have jerseys with names, which
right.
is kind of, I guess, a good thing if you're a coach and an evaluator. At least you can kind of figure out who they are. Because without them, you're checking the roster all the time. But to answer your question, you know, a lot of these guys are coming in here. They have no chance to make the team when you really think about it because there's just so many – there's not as many positions available. But I feel like they get a look at these guys in case there's injuries. They get a look at these guys in case there's needs somewhere down the line, practice squad. You know, and eventually sometimes there is some guys that come out of this camp getting invited to you know, the mini camp and to training camp. But the most important thing for the coaching staff is to evaluate, and that's really what it is. They get a lot of plays thrown at them. They want to see how they react to different situations. They can get some guys, you know, get their eyes on these people after looking at so many sessions of tape that they now get to see them up front in person, get to talk to the guys, and then as a staff they meet and again, talk about them. But really for the draft picks – it's a new chapter in their lives. It's an exciting one, and they can go out there. And, you know, it's always – you got to be a little bit careful with these camps because there's guys sometimes that come in here and there's injuries that happen, and those are unfortunate, but it's a game of football, and sometimes it does, and you hope that it doesn't. But for the most part, if you're a rookie and you're invited to this camp, it's a great honor, no matter if, even if it's the Giants or anybody, that you know that you've made it onto an NFL field and you're able to go out there and show the coaches what you can do. But it is a long shot. And for most of these guys, they understand that. But at least I was just reading some Twitter feeds, and they were saying that they love the food. Well, who doesn't love the food here? We know the food is good.
I was out there, and the funniest line, we already had some level of media availability earlier today. Nobody really said anything that important that we hadn't already known about these guys. But Wayne Gallman, somebody asked him, is anything taking you by surprise so far? He goes, yo, man, the food is awesome. And he goes, and they're like, well, you know, well, what did you have that impressive? He goes, you know, last night they had this meatloaf. Not everyone can make meatloaf.
Well, let me tell you something. They can make it here. They can make anything here because the food here is ridiculous. And, you know, and that it's kind of funny because really football players, all they do is work and eat. That's all they do. And those guys can appreciate a good meal. And they come in there, especially when it's free. So that's a good thing. And they do a great job at the cafeteria here. We all get to partake in it, you know, when you're here. I'm here on Friday, so I get my free lunch, which is good. But, you know, it's funny because – These young guys have always dreamed of coming to an NFL facility and being on an NFL team. And when they walk in the doors, you know, a lot of people don't get to see what goes on behind the scenes. And this is it's pretty cool for these guys. But you got to kind of, as a player, you got to kind of look beyond that and say, what am I really here for? And that's to try to make an NFL roster. And it's very difficult.
It absolutely is. And how important is it for especially the tryout guys that are coming in here? You know, they're not a draft pick. They don't have an undrafted free agent contract where, look, nothing's assured, but at least you have some level of security if you've gotten some type of bonus or something like that from the team.
Yeah.
For the guys that are pure tryouts, how important is it for them not to try to do too much because that messes you up, but at the same time, you want to make splash plays. What type of, you know, tough balance is it for those guys where you don't want to get out of character for what you do, but at the same time, you want to make somebody notice you?
Well, if I'm one of those guys, I'm first in line. I'm jumping up there, you know, whether it's confidence. You got to believe that you can make a football team. So be first in the line, be first in the meetings, ask questions, get together with your position coach afterwards, show them that you love football and you want to be here. That's part of it. I mean, if you're a guy that's in the back of the line all the time and is afraid to screw up, then you're not going to be on the team. So coaches look for that kind of attitude and that kind of character in players. So that if I'm sitting here talking to somebody, I'm telling them the same thing I just said. You know, get in, do all those things, and but don't try to overthink. Don't try to do things that you aren't capable of, because then it's going to make you look like a fool, and it's going to make you look like you don't know what you're doing. So just have confidence in the way you play and go out there and do it.
And by the way, if you want to check out who spoke to the media already, it is up on Giants.com and on the Giants mobile app. You've got Ben McAdoo, Steve Spagnuolo, Mike Sullivan, Tom Quinn, the three coordinators and head coach, along with draft picks Dalvin Tomlinson, Wayne Gallman, and Avery Moss should be coming shortly. I think we got him as well. No, Dave? No Avery Moss? Okay. No Avery Moss yet, but I know Brandon London talked to Avery Moss, and he was talking to the media, so maybe he'll pop up at some point as well. All right, let's do calls. 201-939-4513. Give us your take, opinion on rookie minicamp. Anything else you want to discuss, we'll do it right here on Giants.com. Let's go to Abdul in Minneapolis. He will lead us off on line one. Hi, Abdul.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's up?
I have two questions. First question, was Victor Cruz a tryout walk-on, or was he an undrafted free agent?
That is a good question.
I believe he was a tryout walk-on. I don't believe he was an undrafted free agent. I will double-check that, but I'm not.
I think you're right.
I'm not absolutely positive, but I'm pretty sure he was a tryout walk-on. Was Cruz a undrafted free agent? Did we sign him to a contract before rookie minicamp, or was he a tryout signing? We're going to look that up, Abdul. That's a really good question. I don't remember offhand.
Okay, and the second question is, it seems like, and I could be being nitpicky here, which I am sometimes, but it seems like every year there's a position that's undermanned. A few years ago was the defensive line, and then we went out and spent all that money and got those players. Last year it seemed like we're kind of undermanned in the offensive line, and and this year it seems like the cornerbacks, so the defensive backfield's kind of undermanned.
Hey, Abdul, real quick, I already have the answer for you, so I don't want to go back to it later. He was signed by the Giants as an undrafted free agent the day after the draft, so he was an undrafted free agent signing. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it just seems like I'm not sure if it's a Reese issue or is it just because of the way the salary cap is structured, that there always is one part of the roster that's undermanned. And is that a Reese thing, or is that the way it's structured? It seems like always every year it's one part of the team that seems like it's forgotten.
Abdul,
it's kind of
that is a NFL thing. I think if you go to any fan of any team or any reporter that covers any team, they will all have one or two areas, or even three or four areas if the team's really not that good, where you say, you know what, boy, they could really use some help in this spot. I don't think it's something that's exclusive to the Giants.
And the team will tell you that probably you're wrong if you think that it's this or that. You know, they're not going to their opinion may be different than yours, think it just kind of. It just kind of evolves that way, and I think that the players that they bring in here, they feel confident that that's a good group. But as it goes along and there's some attrition to it, then we develop our opinion on that position. And then you say to yourself, you know what, yeah, cornerbacks, there isn't that many good guys behind the starters. Well, that just happens that way. You know, last year with the defensive linemen, it just guys get hurt, guys retire, guys get cut. That's just kind of the ebb and flow of the roster, if you will.
Right, and because that's basically my only qualm I have with this offseason is our lack of depth at cornerback. But I think that's a pretty if that's the only problem, I think we're doing okay.
I agree.
Guys, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Abdul.
Good talking to you. I haven't talked to you in a while. At least I haven't. Abdul is a regular caller during the season.
Absolutely. So this we have a group of callers that are regular season regulars, but then they don't call in the off season. Then we have off season regulars, and they don't call during the regular season.
Sure.
It's kind of funny how that goes.
Well,
201.
We're here.
Yeah,
you can call anytime.
Let's go to Alan in Brooklyn. He's up next. Hi, Alan.
How you guys doing? Hi, John. Hi, Jeff.
Doing great, Alan. How are
you? What's going on?
I don't know if you saw the report about the trade at 49ers on draft day. Three picks to move out of the first. I think it was two number fours and a second round pick, which I think was the third pick in the second round.
Wait, which trade are you talking about specifically?
There was a trade reported with the 49ers try to get back into the first round at the 23rd pick.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, they offered the Giants 2 4th round picks, according to the Peter King story.
Right. Would you have done it if
no.
it was
no
a
way.
Second round pick next year?
If it was a second round pick next year to move down 10 spots?
Instead of 2 4th, yeah.
I probably would have considered it, but for 2 4ths, absolutely not, because you're not going to get. I'm not going to call the fourth round a crapshoot, but there's a good chance the player you get in the fourth round is not going to be a starting caliber NFL player.
Especially two of them.
And you also think that you understand, Alan, is that you have to be willing to not get Evan Ingram. Because if you're dropping back into, what were the Niners, I think, the 32nd pick? Something like that in the second round? Something
I think it was the 35th.
It was the 35th. You're right. I'm sorry, 35th
pick. Because they were looking to get into the first
You're right. It was the 35th pick. So you're dropping down 12 spots. Odds are Evan Ingram wasn't going to be there if you're picking at 35. For 2 4ths, absolutely not. I would have said no with no questions asked. For a second next year, I would have thought about it.
Or how about two? How about two this year? Then you would have had, as a Giant, you would have had 3 second-round picks.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they had 2 2s to give.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Right.
Well, how about that one, though?
Or how about 2 3s? But remember, the Niners picked up the 2 3s from the Bears. What if they would have turned around and said,
here,
we'll
have them.
Yes, yeah. You could have those 2 picks if you let us move back up, or even maybe a third and a fourth. That's a different story.
I got to draw the line between the second and third. I would take 2 seconds to get me a, I would have 3 second-round draft picks for the 23rd pick in the number one. I think I would go there.
Okay.
That's me.
Real quick with Jeff, you have $100 in your pocket.
I do?
You're in Vegas. If you have to put your money on a race between John and Lance, who do you got?
Alan's trying to cause trouble.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Alan.
Well,
appreciate
I'll tell you,
it.
The first thing we're going to need is a camera at the finish line because I think it would be close.
Well,
okay.
You wouldn't need a slow-motion camera because in full speed it would be in slow motion anyway. But Lance is overly – apparently when I wasn't hosting with Lance on Wednesday, he, proclaimed he would kill me.
Really?
Because I was on the show. So, obviously, he has guts to, say things like that.
Interesting.
But, look, I'm not saying it's not going to be close because I think it probably would be. But I'm fairly confident. In a sprint now, I would beat him. Long distance. I'm not a long distance runner now. I'm not. I'm a basketball player. So I run up and down length of the
court.
And
here's the thing. I know that John plays basketball. I don't know how many sports Lance actually plays. So I don't know how athletic he is.
Well, Lance plays. He claims – I've seen him play basketball. Whether or not it's actually basketball that he's playing is another question, but – Thanks for the call, Alan. Appreciate it, man.
That's a great question.
All right, thanks, Alan.
I wonder if one of the sports books has that bet in Vegas. I don't know. It'd be pretty interesting.
Dominic. And it's funny. Somebody made this joke on Twitter yesterday, too. Lance would be a hell of a jockey.
Yeah, he would. He would definitely – he might actually be – if he went to some place where all the jockeys hung out, he would, for the first time in his life, feel very tall. So maybe that's where he does hang out. That's why he's so confident.
I think you're giving him too much credit.
Yeah, no, I love Lance.
Of course, me too.
Yeah,
If we didn't like him, we wouldn't give him a hard time.
And we can't give him too much because he's not here to defend himself.
And he's always too cocky anyway, so you always have to bring Lance down a peg or two.
Lance can be cocky for all those that don't know him very well.
Very
and
cocky.
When we get into our discussions off the air and things like that, he is very cocky in what he says comes about. So it's a good cockiness, though. It's not a jerk cockiness. He's just very confident. He's a very confident, young, short man.
I would say it depends on the subject whether or not he's a good cocky or a bad cocky. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you guys all cover, basketball and football. I don't know. Does he do any baseball?
He is insufferable when it comes to Michael Jordan and the Bulls.
Well, yeah,
he's
I've noticed that.
I've noticed
him get into some arguments on Twitter over that.
Impossible to deal
with. Yeah.
201-939-4513.
Great question.
Let's go to Antonio of Manhattan. He's up next. Hi, Antonio.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, John and Jeff, man?
How are you,
buddy? Going?
Doing great.
Happy
How are
Friday.
You?
What's going on?
All right, so I got two statements, and then I got a question, and I'll take it off air.
Mm-hmm.
The first statement is, I see a lot of Giants fans getting caught up with, Ingram being a one-dimensional tight end. He's only a receiver and stuff like that, and he's not going to be able to block. But my statement to that is, listen, if they're going to put a corner or safety on him, he's going to be able to block them. Well, he will, that's what we're going to expect from him, to block somebody that's much lighter than he is. And if they put a linebacker on him, all Eli has to do is just audible to a pass and just, you know, blow it right by them. So I think that it's not about, you know, who – I think it's his matchup problem. It's going to be a lot more matchup problems than anything.
Can I comment on that first? I think we need to pump the brakes on all this blocking. You can't block until we actually get him here,
right,
and see for ourselves. I saw him out there. He's a pretty big dude. I mean, he's not. Listen,
right.
Yeah, he runs routes and he plays well as a wide receiver, if you will. But he's a big guy.
I haven't been next to him yet.
Right.
Looking forward to it.
Make sure you when you. Yep. I was surprised at his size.
And, you know,
really
that's what Mike Sullivan said today, too. And if somebody asked him that question, you guys goes, look, he's not a big wide receiver. He's not like Brandon Marshall. He's a lot thicker than that.
He is.
So, again, I haven't seen him up close yet, but that's the point that Mike Sullivan made today, that he really does have more of that upper body strength to him where they think that they can develop him into a guy that can play on the line a little bit. Now, you're not going to ask him to be a lead blocker or anything and be Mark Bavaro, but he can do that stuff
right.
if he needs to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Now, the other comment that I want to talk about is pretty much, you know, all this power talk football and Paul, you know, he's alluding to a lot, you know, all the rut, the smash mouth and stuff like that. I don't really care about that. What I do want to see, though, is our rushing attempts to be high, you know, because last year it reflected where we had low rushing attempts, we usually lost those games and we were competitive in games where we had high rushing attempts. I know that it would suck if we were already getting, you know, 3 yards per carry, but I would definitely love to see more rushing attempts and you know, I think that's going to be the key to success.
Well, I agree with you. And from a balance standpoint, you got to become, you know, somewhat balanced. I mean, you know that this offense is heavy-handed throwing the football, especially now with the weapons they have. But if
right.
you have a balanced
you
attack and you can
away.
Run the football, it'll improve your passing game. So I agree with you there. I agree. Just a matter
yeah.
of
and,
–
and the last one I'll say, and I'll take this off the air, is complex formations. I just don't see us enough with complex formations. Like, why don't the Giants ever get on the pistol formation, which is something that McAdoo did when he was in Green Bay. So I just want to know, like, does Eli not like the pistol? Is that why we don't do it here?
Well,
I pick it up for air. Thank God.
Thanks, Antonio. I don't think the pistol is what I would consider a complicated formation, first of all. I mean, it's basically just whether or not the running back's behind the quarterback or next to the quarterback. To me, that there isn't any complexity to that. It's simple. I mean, and I think one of the reasons that you didn't see more variation in the formations last year is because they always had those same three wideouts on the field. Now I think with Ingram here, he can allow you to be a little bit more creative with how and where you line guys up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's gonna motion into some of those formations. He's going to motion out of some of those formations. And so you may see it every once in a while. But, I mean, when you look at Eli, you don't think of a quarterback that's going to be in the pistol formation. I just feel like you got to play to your strengths and then come up with some other formations. And really, as a Giants fan, a lot of people have talked about 11 personnel, you kind of want to see the Giants get a little, you know, away from the 98 or 97% that they were in it last year, and I think that they will. They're definitely going to be a little bit more creative in their personnel groupings to get out of the 11 personnel that they were in last year. They didn't have the personnel to get out of it.
Well, and here's the beauty of it now, Jeff. Even if you're in 11 personnel, right, that 11 personnel can turn into a four wide out look if you want to split Beckham out wide.
That's what I'm saying.
You
yeah,
can,
they can motion into
and technically,
something.
I guess technically that would still be 11 personnel because I guess Ingram's technically a tight end, but you can line up four wide like that. You can line up Ingram in the slot outside. You can line up Marshall inside outside. You can put, you know, you can almost even run with that 11 personnel. You can even put Ingram in the backfield with the running back and run it that way and try to match him with a linebacker coming out of the backfield receiving pattern. So to me, even though it might still technically be 11 personnel, because of Ingram's versatility, they'll be able to use him in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, it won't come out looking like 11 personnel, even though they're in 11.
Correct, exactly.
And I also think that they can do multiple formations with this group that's on the field now. It's just endless. And that's what these guys do. They design plays up in that office to try to confuse and get matchup problems, which is all we heard about with Ingram, matchup problems. Well, that's what you're going to see. It's all about shifting a guy to one side because their corner or their linebacker isn't in good in coverage. They're going to put the weaker guy on the stronger guy and try to develop a mismatch.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Dino in New Jersey. Dino, what's going on?
Hi, Dino.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Great. How are you?
I'm very excited to see what these rookies are going to look like during this mini camp and stuff. That being said, during the draft, I did strike out on every player that I liked or wanted. But I am excited on some of these rookies like Ingram, Thomason, Bowman, Moss, and stuff like that. You want to see what they what they're going to be able to do. But that being said, I want to discuss what's this whole thing about the Herzlich thing, and how much are they really considering using him as a tight end or trying to fit him in as a tight end or fullback when we have Ingram as a pass catching tight end or slot, whatever you want to call him.
I don't think I don't think it's that serious. Ben McAdoo was actually asked about that this morning. It was either McAdoo or Sullivan. I'm pretty sure it was McAdoo.
Wow.
And McAdoo said, look, we've used Mark in practice on that side of the field before. And he goes, don't put anything into him changing his number. That's not significant about anything. So personally, Dino, I would be surprised if I saw him out there on the offensive side of the ball. I don't see it happening.
Me either.
Well, yeah, exactly. I would be surprised, too, because we brought Rhett Ellison, we got Ty, we got Jarrell Adams still. I would really be more considering on seeing what we got on the offensive line. That's our weakness. I mean, like they were saying that they want to put Fluker more as a right guard when Pro Football Focus and everyone said that he was better at right tackle rather than guard. I mean, I would worry about our offensive line more than trying to, you know, put other players in certain positions.
Well, I think the Fluker can play either one of those, and I think that if he's not starting, he will be in that swing role as a reserve offensive lineman that can go in at the guard or the tackle position. And it's just going to matter of competition where he lands. If he's going to beat out Bobby Hart or Bobby Hart's going to beat out him, and yeah, I don't know. So that'll kind of work itself out after training camp is over.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. And I wonder what this six-round pick, the offensive lineman, is going to look like.
Biznovati?
Yeah, Biznovati, yeah.
I know, we're going to butcher that name forever.
Oh, you will. I'm going to be fine.
I just got it right.
I know you did.
Biznovati. And you know why? Because the W sounds like a V. You told me that last week.
Yes, and you remembered.
And
good job.
So, you know, I like him. I mean, you know, a sixth-round draft pick is, you know, when they traded up to get him, so it tells you that they like him a little bit. And I think that he'll be a guy that can play multiple positions too. I think that they all have to on the offensive line, whether you're a center. But, you know, most of the time, these guys practice here, practice there, because you can only carry so many guys.
Now, to me, he's the guy, in my opinion now, and I'll see if I'm right or wrong when we get to the year. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the offensive lineman that, at least for the first half of the season, is inactive on game days, where he's on the 53. But he doesn't get the shirt. You'll have a swing tackle, and you'll have Brett Jones as the two primary backups, and he'll be the guy that doesn't get a shirt on game day.
Yep.
That would be my guess, just because you can't rely on a rookie to be your backup left or right tackle. You don't want that.
No, and the only way that he'll dress, in my opinion, is that they need him on special teams, okay? So, you know, sometimes there's that guy that you know, they have him dress in case we have an injury at the offensive line position, but, you know, he plays on all the special teams. So that's kind of where – and you know what? To be honest with you, most of these rookies, including Ingram, will be on special teams. They play special teams, okay? And you say, oh, how's your number one draft pick play special teams? People, you have to learn how to play the game of football before. This is a different level now, okay? I know you're a first-round draft pick, but you've got to get used to the speed. You've got to get used to a lot of different things as a rookie. And a tight end is a perfect position to have to play special teams. You can play on the punt team. You can play on punt return. You can play on kickoff return. He'll play all of them.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yep.
I mean, from what I heard, he's pretty and mean, so we'll have to see.
Well, I think that, you know, those guys, they're earmarked for special teams their first year anyways. I mean, unless there's, you know, you really need them. I mean, Eli Apple, he played a lot of special teams. He played a lot of defense. So you got to get your feet wet.
Thanks for the call, man.
Yep, thank
you. All right, guys, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Dino. 201-939-4513. Nick in the Meadowlands. We stay in the same zip code. What's up, Nick?
Yeah. Hi, Nick.
Yes, I am. What's up? Knocking at the door.
Okay. What's going on, man?
Let him in.
You guys got some lunch for me?
Well, if there's anything left, the rookies just ate everything that was in there.
I was going to say, there shouldn't be anything left with those guys in
there. No, sir.
What you were saying before, a couple minutes ago, you know, big thing with the NFL is bigger, faster, stronger. That's why a lot of injuries happen to some of these guys that come up to play right away. You know, you're going against a guy that hits harder, he's stronger, he's faster. There you go. It's a whole nother level here. And guys find out real quick.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Romeo Okwara, and you can see the interview on Giants.com, and I asked him about what minicamp was for him, and he even said, look, I expected the games and the pace to be faster, but even the practice pace kind of took me by surprise, and it was a real difference than what I did in college. So you're right. The pace here the next few days, you know, going from drill to drill and things like that, it's a lot quicker on the pros than what these guys are used to.
Yep.
Yeah, they got to prepare them, yeah, because it's a whole other, you know, level up here. Like I said, it's like going against the best college team you ever went against in college, you know, where you had a bunch of guys on the team that are really skilled and good at their position. Well, now everybody's good, or they're really good, or they're great.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So,
and they're all
where
fast.
A lot of that comes from. I like the number Ingram got, you know. Hopefully he can fill those shoes really good.
Number 88.
Yep, and I think the NFL mass will come on him, you know, like 10 pounds, you know, all those guys that are worrying about that. So you got a bigger, faster Jordan Reed, you know. Let's just
I hope he plays like Jordan Reed because that dude's good.
Well, he isn't bigger than Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed's like 250 pounds.
No, he's saying like if he puts on
some
more
pounds.
No, I'm saying
if he's going to put that NFL weight on, you know, he's going to bulk up. You know,
remember, if you bulk up, though.
It does with everybody.
And, Nick, here's the thing, though. People keep saying that, oh, he'll bulk up, he'll be a better.
Well, he might not.
Well, here's the thing, Nick.
Do
you want him to? That's my thing. I mean, let's say, would you rather have him be, you know, 237 and run a 4.42, or be 253 and run a 4.56. You know, 20 pounds. You know, think about this. When you're lifting weights,
a lot of things that happen with 20
imagine
pounds.
Imagine carrying 20 pounds and then trying to run. It slows you down.
Plus,
so
your body's not used to the weight.
Exactly. I wouldn't be worried about trying to bulk this guy too much. Let him be what he is. Don't try to turn him into something he's not.
Yeah.
I'm pushing 40, fellas, so I know all about gaining a little bit of extra weight.
Trust me, I know about it too.
We all do.
You know, but hey, the other thing is the Grim Reaper. Listen, man, I'm tired of hearing about it, and I'm sure everybody else is. No more about the offensive line. They went out and they did what they could, you know, and you guys were just talking about Biznavati. You look at that guy, he looks like a freaking Viking. He looks like a junkyard dog.
He can blow that big
he
horn.
He looks like a scrapper.
Yeah.
Fluker. They're going to make the offensive line more serious and hungry, I think, for their jobs. And then Ellison and Brandon Marshall and then Evan Ingram. That's just going to – like, we're going to see what happens, boys. I mean, I can just see them lining up Evan Ingram, I mean, all over the place. I mean, there's going to be some kind of problem somewhere in defense, and they're just going to cave in.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And then, by the way, you got to
see it happening. But you know what, guys? Let's see what they do on the field with what they got. They didn't get anything in free agency, Clady and all these guys that he wanted. You know, every time, it's either about negativity about what's going on with the franchise, Eli the last week, what can happen with Eli. I mean, is he a Patriots fan? Is this guy really a Patriots fan? And he just likes to nudge in a few little comments that he does, you know, whenever he finds out things that he thinks are facts, you know? Let's wait till they do something on the field, you know what I mean? Because they could – Eric Flowers is 23. He always ends up going from the offensive line to Eric Flowers. That's the guy you got to pick on. You know what I mean? His buddy Beattie got hurt. You know, Eric Flowers got thrown to the wolves. So give the guy a chance.
Thank you, Nino.
That's good. What a good segue into the next caller.
I got a bad
The Grim Reaper is here.
Losing his mind.
We just pull him out of the cloud.
Right in the hat. Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
What a great introduction,
oh,
Charlie.
Oh, my God.
The guy wants to hear from you.
Well, no, he actually didn't want to hear from him, but now Charlie's
think,
here anyway.
Deep down inside, he really does want to hear from you.
And I think that's a good summary of Charlie's life, probably. People not wanting to, you know, hear from him and see him, and he just shows up anyway.
His buddy, Beatty. His buddy, Beatty, got hurt.
What's up, Charlie? How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good, John. Hey, Jeff.
What's up?
Hey, look, you know, you got to be able to hear the truth sometimes and, you know, look a little deeper than just what's on the paper. And, you know, the American Indian said there's two type of people. One is like a mouse and one is like an eagle. One just sees what's right in front of them is a mouse, plugs along. All he sees is dirt in front of him. And then there's some people who are like the eagle. They can see far and they see distance and they see what is going to happen or can happen. So, you know, I think I'm an eagle.
What the hell are you talking about, Charlie? Like, you're giving like Native American parables now?
Are you, are you in the woods again, Charlie? Are you in the woods again, Charlie?
Hey, I got a great thing for us.
Man. Yeah.
In 2019, right?
Funny.
It will be 60 years since they did a game in Bangor. It's not Bangor. It's Bangor, Maine.
Bangor, Maine.
In, right?
Yeah. Huh?
And we can do a 60-year at the University of Maine Stadium, which is a beautiful stadium, and we'll have the Giants. You know, our fourth preseason game is always the Pats. We can have the Pats and the Giants in the fourth preseason game up in Orono to celebrate 60 years. How's that?
What do you say? So you want the Giants? Do you want them to come back and play there? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Exactly.
Good luck.
Now, Charlie, in all seriousness, what's the biggest venue that you guys have in Bangor, Maine?
Probably that, right?
Well, it's Orono. It's University of Maine Stadium. Yeah. It's a big stadium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Big stadium
was,
is
mean,
what? What's
I mean,
a big
other,
stadium?
You know, the other one was a high school stadium back in 1959. So, but this, you know, the University of Maine that has all the amenities would be the NFL, I think, would approve of something like that.
No way.
So I'm good.
What do you mean that you think exactly?
Charlie, here's why. Nobody cares about Maine.
Nobody wants to go to Maine.
you
it's not the main point.
That the New York Giants was Maine's team for many, many, many years. Until the Pats came along in the American Football League. And there's still a bunch of Giants fans here because of that. Every Sunday on channel CBS, we used to watch the Giants. They were the game every week. I'm telling you, there's a lot of fans up here. So I'm going to try to figure out how I can push this.
Okay.
So I'm going to see if I can get a hold of somebody in the NFL.
Well, you might want to start with Mr. Mara. He probably would tell you right yes or no.
Charlie,
right
here's the trick. See, now, if you want to make this happen, somebody's going to have to sacrifice a home game. And that's where things start to become problematic.
Exactly.
For a preseason game, the Pats is probably going to be at the Patriots. It's not that far. They'll do it.
No, no, they won't do it.
I think it's a great idea.
Well, Charlie, that's the thing then. See,
I think it's a horrible idea. I don't think it'll ever work, Charlie.
I'm
not even going
to say anything. Some of the undrafted free agents. And let me just say, let me just throw out Flower's name just so I can irritate the last caller.
Okay.
I won't talk about him. Look, I don't know. These undrafted free agents, right? Some of them look. They like to have a lot of potential, but who knows, right? We don't know.
It's hard, yeah. These guys that are here,
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, we're counting on undrafted free agents for our offensive linemen. You know, Wheeler, DeBunker, what's his name?
Yeah, but Charlie, these are the guys that are going to compete for the 8th, 9th, and 10th spots.
Yeah.
You know, they aren't going to be, you know, even the 6th and 7th guys.
Then that's a big problem. Because if they, I mean, for God's sake, if they're going for 8 and 9, then we're in trouble. We need some people to try for 4 and 5 and you know, 5 and 6.
Yeah, but they didn't draft anybody in the first round, Charles. We know this already. Why do you you already have the nail in the wall. Stop hitting it with the hammer. The nail's in. It's there. I get it.
No, Jerry said we can still trade. He said that. We're going to look for cuts in the summer, and we can still possibly trade. That's what he said. I'm going to take his word to the grave. So anyway.
Yeah, the grave
hey, guys,
is right.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Charlie. Don't let the tree fall on you on your way out of the woods.
Hey, I sent you a YouTube video.
Oh,
actually,
boy.
The city of Bangor made a video because they were tired of people calling it banger. You got to watch it. It's funny. It's pretty clever. So I'll catch y'all later.
I will check it out. Thank you, Charlie.
Hey,
appreciate
the call. Oh, Jeff, let me say to Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Pepe Le Pew is balling out.
Oh, he is.
They are raving about him in Atlanta right now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks
we're going to see. I
want call,
my
Charlie.
Lobster dinner. I want
it.
My lobster dinner.
Thanks for the call, pal.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder if they had like a, you know, like a premiere of that YouTube video for what he just talked about.
I'm honestly afraid to access it here at the facility. I think the IT guys are going to come down here. It's going to be like filled with like viruses and stuff. I'm afraid to click on the link. I'm
don't,
not going to
lie.
Don't
go on here. Just save yourself. Don't even go on there.
But then if I do it at home, I'm going to destroy my computer at home. I don't want to do that either.
Well, you'd rather do it here because there's more help here. Yeah, yeah, probably right. Yeah.
I don't want to get yelled at by IT either. 201-939-4513. We finally have our rookie minicamp roster. Yay. Let's go back to the phones and say hello to Leo in New Milford. Leo, what's up?
Hey, great. How's everything today?
Good.
Great, Leo. How are you?
Excited to hear about all the rookies in camp and to get to it. And listening to Mainline Charlie, you get a headache.
Yeah.
But one of the thoughts is whenever you bring these guys in, perception becomes reality, especially for fans. We start looking and, oh, my God,
no
this guy's 6'7", 330. You know, it's like George Young said years ago. I look for dancing elephants. They got to have quick feet. They got to be able to move. We make decisions as who and where people should be playing on the line. When that line coach is with them every day and sees who can move.
Yeah, Leo, here's the thing. There are 100 guys out there that are 6'3 and 300 pounds. It doesn't mean that they're a good football player. There's a bunch of guys that can run a 4.45 or 4.47, and they don't even get invited to the combine because they're not good football players. So, you know, and you're right. I think fans kind of get, like, obsessed. Like, wow, look, he's got all the tools. It should work. But you're right. It's about their football ability. And like you said, as an offensive lineman, you have to have great feet, for example, if you want to go play left tackle. So I agree with you 100%.
I've coached a number of kids that look like Tarzan and played like Jane.
Exactly.
And what really makes a difference is when they get that football, Steve, they put that equipment on. I used to take the kids in time in the 40, put a football in their hand if they're a running back or receiver, because that's the time I wanted to see. I don't give a damn if they're running their gym shorts and they're the fastest guy in the field. And it makes a difference.
Yeah.
How well someone can move on a field. So it's really important to see that. But like fans, we get excited. We start zeroing in on different people, and we get, you know, pick up all the things like Tomlinson. That article by Andy Staples that went through and showed his past wrestling, a three-time state champ. I found, at least with the younger kids, wrestlers tend to make very good defensive players because they have great balance.
That's true.
And you know, I'm really looking forward to see how he fits into the mix, but I guess Bromley and Thomas, they got to be chomping at the bit to come out and really show them who's who. You know, it's he's brand new to the professional sport. So there's a lot of exciting things going on. And I think we're in the best position we've been in probably the last 10 years. So I'm excited and looking forward to it. And I do remember years ago when I went out to, I think it was at Pace University, a Giant Tech camp. And I remember Harry Carson coming out. So who the hell is this guy? It was him and Troy Archer were both the two guys that really caught my eye.
Right.
And I remember driving home saying, well, you know, they can always look like, you know, a killer. We got to see what happens when they put their equipment on. Yeah, sometimes they do. They still remain killers. So we'll see where all this goes.
And that's the thing. Hey, appreciate the call, Leo. Good stuff. And I think that he makes a really good point. Because, you know, Ben McAdoo and stuff was asked some questions, and the coordinators and the players even, at media avails this morning. And we got about half the draft class, and we got the coordinators and head coach. And, you know, Ben McAdoo said, look, you got to be careful about, you know, evaluating guys in their underwear. And he was even asked about the offensive linemen, and he's like, guys, until we put pads on in the second week of August or first week of August, whenever it's going to be when the first padded practice is, we're not going to know squat about this stuff. And look, we can have the conversation here. We can have fun. We can project. We can predict. We can have fun with that sort of stuff. Great. But I said this the other day. I don't know if Eric Flowers is going to be any better until I see him line up against Olivier Vernon in padded drills this first week of August. That's 3 months away. I'm just not going to know. Jeff, you know how that goes? It doesn't matter how good these guys run around a tackling dummy and they knock a football that's Velcroed to another tackling dummy's fake arm. It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. And I give you a little bit of a taste of what's going on here, Johnny and everybody. You think about it, I know this for a fact. In 2007, the Super Bowl the year that we had 10 rookies on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's think about this. There were 7 draft picks that year. Okay, so what do we have? 3 either unrestricted or,
undrafted free agents.
Undrafted free agents or trial. I just added all this up for this little event that they got going on here. There's 23 guys on this that are on the roster, officially on the roster of the Giants. There's 38 tryouts guys today and the 6 draft picks. So when you look at the 6 draft picks, most likely 5 of the 6 are making there, most likely all 6 of them.
Aren't the draft picks still included in the roster, guys?
No,
they're not?
Because look, if you say, look.
Drafted, you're right, they are separate. Good call.
When I look at the draft picks, you're gonna pretty much think that all 6 of those guys are going to make the team, most likely. And then you got 23 of the other guys on the roster. There's probably room for, what, 3 or 4 of those guys?
Yeah, so you're right.
Especially in this team. There's not much left on this team.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They signed so many undrafted free agents this year that it's going to be hard. Remember, not all the NYG roster guys are going to be in the undrafted free agent class. For example, Darryl Vergees, for example, is first-year guy. Shane Smith, the first-year guy. So that's not all undrafted free agents, but, you know, that's the point, though.
But what I mean, like, this guy here is a tryout. He's
right.
A first-year player.
Right.
So I'm just, you know, so those are all – these are 38 tryout guys, whether they're undrafted or they're first-year players.
Right. There's even a third-year player in the mix here, too. Justice Cunningham, the tight end out of South Carolina, who's been in the league for 3 years now. So you're right. I mean, look, that's why the coaches – Jeff, maybe as a former player, you can kind of verbalize this better than me. What does competition do for a group of guys – when you're fighting for a spot as opposed to when you feel pretty comfortable that you're on the roster? Talk to me about how competition helps things at this time of year.
Well, I think it comes from – I'm going to play both sides of the field.
Sure.
So if I'm a coach,
yes,
and I'm looking at the competition, number one, I'm trying to find a guy that can compete. That's what a lot of this is about. Okay, so if I have a position where I feel like there's going to be some competition, like to me right now, I think the linebacking position is a very competitive group.
Agreed.
That's kind of where I want to see some of the depth players come in here. And I want to evaluate them and be able to say to the coaching staff, I feel like John Schmel can compete here. Okay, so that's why I want him here. I'm not going to – just because this guy is 6'4", 230, and, you know, he looks good in underwear, I want a guy that I want to – maybe he's going to make the team. Okay, so that's from the coaching – from a player's perspective – there are some guys that just say, you know what, I don't care what the odds are. I'm going in. I'm gonna compete. But in a sense, you got to have a little bit of an idea of who you're gonna be competing against. This team on defense is pretty solid when you think about competing where you are in the depth of some of the. Now defensive line, yeah, they got some guys that they drafted. I mean, they're very deep at safety.
Yeah, I would say 4th, 5th, and 6th corners is something that you'll have an open competition for example.
So these are the guys that you're looking for the competition in there to make that back into the roster, and not necessarily you want to make sure that they're competing with the position they're playing, but you also have to fill a need on special teams. And I know I keep saying that all the time, but you know that the back end of the roster is built with special teams players and that can fill in a pinch. Look at 2 years ago. Was it 2 or 3 years ago when the Giants, I mean, they basically were taking guys off the street. Remember Chase Blackburn? He was out of the league, and they brought him because the depth at the position, you can about to be, you know. So it's those guys sometimes can come from the back of the roster and start playing games, but you want them to be good special teams players, and then maybe develop into a position.
201-939-4513. By the way, I can't retweet these because some of them have some bad words in them. But if you go to hashtag Giants Chat, Eddie Goombaugh put on some funny GIFs. About Charlie and other calls on the show, which I thought were pretty amusing. So if you want to check that out, you can. But let's go back to the phones for the time being. We do have a couple open lines, folks. If you want to get in and chat, this is the time to do it in the final 13 minutes of the show. Let's go to Gabriel in Manhattan. He's on line 3. Hi, Gabriel.
Yeah, how you doing, John? How you doing, Jeff?
Doing great. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, the guy made a comment, I think we've been in the best position in the last 10 years. I don't know about that. Size 1986, I think Jeff was on the best Giants team of all times.
Well, you know, Gabriel, here's what I would say, and I say this honestly, this might be the most talented roster at this time of year and complete roster on both sides of the football now that I've seen maybe since 2008.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of holes still, like the O-line. I don't
– Yeah, but Gabriel, in the NFL these days, man – And you're right. I'm not going back to 86 and 90 pre-salary cap when you had some monster teams that were very complete. I'm talking in the salary cap era in the last I can't believe that's 30 years now, but in the last that would be more like the last 20, 25 years or so. This Giants team is pretty darn complete. They have a lot of talent on both sides of the football. Yeah, they have holes, but look at every other team in the league. Everyone has holes. The Packers, they don't have a secondary. The Cowboys, their defense is really, really young. The Eagles have a second-year quarterback. They don't have a great secondary. The Redskins' corners are weak. If you want to go to the AFC West, the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks, their offensive line is a mess. Go to the AFC West. Do you have faith in the Oakland Raiders' defense to make a big stop when they need one? I certainly don't. The Broncos don't have a great quarterback. The Chiefs have Alex Smith, who can't get the ball down the field. The only team that you could really argue that doesn't have a ton of holes are the Patriots. But they're just so well coached, and they have such a good system that they're able to coach around those holes so you don't notice it. Every team's going to have holes. I'm just going back the last 10 years.
But that's why those other teams aren't Super Bowl contenders. And
I just listed the best teams in
the Super Bowl.
Well, but Gabriel, I just listed the best teams in the league from last year.
2 years ago. Seattle was in the Super Bowl.
I listed every single good team. The Falcons have plenty of holes. You don't think the Falcons have holes? They were in the Super Bowl last year.
Seattle had a lot of good players that they had to re-sign and couldn't afford to re-sign them, and their team got worse.
Yep.
But even last year, Gabriel, they had holes. I mean, there's a reason they blew a 20-point lead in the Super Bowl, because they couldn't stop the Patriots' passing game because their defense wasn't very good. So, you know, every team has holes, and the Giants have weak spots too. That's just the way the NFL is now. You don't have, you know, Dallas Cowboys from the mid-90s, Steelers from the 70s, Niners from the late 80s, Giants from the late 80s. Those teams don't exist anymore. Every team has flaws.
And you're
right, but I feel like the Steelers and a few other teams, they're always there in the hunt and always build their team the right way from the ground up and set themselves in a good position. I just think that if we have one injury in the secondary where things could be derailed, or if our linebackers aren't up to par, it's just a lot of stuff. Because Eli Apple, even though he's good and everything, I don't think he's a lockdown yet. He's going to probably develop into a way better DB than what he is now, but
It's only going to be his second year.
Yo, Gabriel, you're right. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. If, you know, Eli Manning gets hurt, the team's in trouble. If, you know, Janoris Jenkins pops his Achilles in 3 weeks, they're in a lot of trouble. If Olivier Vernon gets rolled and pops his ACL, yeah, they're going to be in trouble. But if you take the best player off of any team, guess what? They're going to be in trouble.
They need help.
Yeah, you're right. But you're right. I mean, no team in the NFL has good four DBs, but
right.
I just feel like a lot of people are hyping up this season, and there's still a lot of unanswers.
Oh no, Gabriel, look,
gotta get better.
I agree with everything you just said. There are no guarantees here, and I could easily see a scenario where the Giants don't make the playoffs. It could certainly happen, but I do think that they've arranged a roster here
to compete,
where they have the pieces capable of being very, very good. Now, whether all that comes together or not, we'll have to wait and see. As Jeff knows, you never know. I'm sure you've had plenty of seasons where you think your team's really talented. They turn out not to be very good. It happens, right?
And most of the time, it's because something happened. Injuries at a key position. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
The quarterback went down, or your starting defensive end, or you know something like that. The NFL does show you how fast that a team can get turned around when the prior years that they were horrible. Look at the Giants last year. They were an 11-5 team coming off a 6-10 season with the worst defense in the league. They turn it around with some players, and I think that this offense was needing X, Y, and Z. They went out and got it in free agency and in the draft. We are always going to talk about where we think the weakness is in one side of the ball, and we all know that we collectively have spoken – repeatedly about the offensive line here, but we got to let it shake itself out. They got the players that they brought in here. Now they got to compete, and they're going to put the best five guys on the field. We probably know 75% of those whose guys are going to be. It's going to be Flowers. We know that. It's going to be Richburg. It's going to be Pugh, and then most likely Jerry, and then that right side. Who is it going to be? But you got the players. You got Fluker, who's a veteran, and you got Bobby Hart, who's a veteran. But we do have to talk a little bit about the depth, and I believe, in my opinion, that things will happen coming up. I mean, once it hits June and there's some cuts in the NFL, anything could happen. There's probably still some players out there that could improve the depth of the Giants. So we'll see.
I just say one more thing that it's kind of disappointing about the linebackers, like the linebacking core in general, because the New York Giants are always known for like their great linebackers, and I feel like we haven't addressed that in so long.
Well, we drafted Goodson last year in the third round. I think what you're alluding to is where's the first round draft pick from a linebacker position?
We don't need a first round draft pick. There's a lot of linebackers that come fourth, fifth round and light people up. It's just all in the tape and how you draft and how you scout.
Well, Gabe, remember.
I appreciate. I always watched you, long time fan. Appreciate everything you've done
for
the Giants, and maybe you could teach some of these, you know, young punters a thing or two. But that's all.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for
Thank
calling.
Thank you, Gabriel.
In.
Yeah. Great call, man. Good points. Yeah. Excellent point. And I think Gabriel makes a good point where.
Well, he does. It's hard to argue. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that question.
And look, people are understandably confident. And I think I've projected probably more confidence this offseason than I have in seasons past because I think the roster's there to do it. When maybe in seasons past, I'm not sure that you had the level of talent that you had now. But anything can go wrong in a season. I mean, you go to any number of teams where they will legitimately tell you, and if you put them on a lie detector test, yeah, we think we can win 10 games this year. They go and they win 5. I mean, it happens. That's the NFL.
And you know what? A lot of times people talk about personnel, but what about how the guys play?
Right.
What if Olivia Vernon and JPP don't get pressure and don't get sacked? What if all of a sudden Eli turns into a throwing interception machine?
I mean,
and we start fumbling the football and, you know, things happen
like
that. I
mean, you go back in time and you look at guys' crews like, boy, you know, I'll try to think of a good example. You know, O.C. Manier had a great career, but you know, in 2004, you know, he just didn't have a great year. You know, he wasn't very good that year. And you know what? Maybe he had a nagging injury he didn't report. And again, this is a hypothetical situation. I'm not sure what O.C. stats in 2004 actually were. They were probably very good. But, you know, and sometimes guys just don't have good years. You know, what happens if Janoris Jenkins just doesn't have a good year? What happens if, you know, take your pick. What if Odell Beckham Jr. just doesn't have a good year? Now, I don't suspect any of that's going to happen. They're in their prime. They're healthy. Why would you think that's going to happen? But, look, that's why you play the games. If the games are won on paper, you'd be setting up the playoffs now.
Well, and that's why you have to have confidence in the guys that you bring in here that they are going to compete and play.
Right.
But a lot of times that's out of your control when it's these guys go out and don't play. I mean, and again, like you said, John, to echo what you said, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. There could be something happening in a player's lives that is affecting his game. It could be a nagging injury that nobody knows about. I mean, how many times have we heard after the season is over that so-and-so played with X and nobody knew about
it? And he had off-season surgery.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, oh, and then the light bulb goes on in your head like, so that's why he didn't play well. Well, we didn't know that when we were breaking it down all season.
What was the most talented team you were on, and then everything kind of just – you thought going into the year we were going to be damn good, and then everything just fell apart and you were bad?
I think that one year when I was in Philadelphia, we were going into the season, we were going to be really, really good. And then we had the death of Jerome Brown.
Oh, boy.
And so that really – I mean, that really rocked our season.
Was that Richie Kotite team?
Was that – yeah. Yes, that was
still Buddy.
That was Richie Kotite's team.
Okay,
and then there's also been times when we have been really good, and then get to the playoffs, and you know,
08.
Yeah, 08. 08 was a team that I probably the 08 Giants team was on paper probably, and we ran the football better.
Oh, to hell with on paper, Jeff. That was the best Giants team I've ever seen play.
That team was – we were locked and loaded and ready to go. We were going to repeat.
I mean in this era, of course. In the Tom Coughlin era, that was the best Tom Coughlin era Giants team I've seen.
We were going to repeat that year. I mean, think about how good we were.
Led the league in rushing that year.
And that was just an incredible team. And then, of course, you know, what happened happened. But things like that, and you know, we didn't even talk about that. Things like that can happen to a football team. And next thing you know, it's like it's over. You know, and the playoffs, you're supposed to get in the playoffs and win, and we lose the last, what was it, 5 out of 6 games that season? And, yeah, so, and there's also times when you come into a season on the flip side of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't think we're going to be any good. And next thing you know, you win 10 games, and the people are like, Coach of the Year, way to go, you know? It's like, wow, okay, this is
– Joe, final call of the show. Let's get to it. You got 60 seconds. What's up, pal?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up, you were talking about how every team has a weakness, and I just feel like everything starts in the trenches, right? Everybody always says that, and I feel like that's one of our weaknesses when it comes to the offensive line.
Yep.
I don't want to be the one harping on it, but at the same time, like, yeah, we have weaknesses. All teams have weaknesses. I just don't like where our weaknesses is at the moment, you know, being the O-line. And I'm not crazy about bringing in Claddy or anybody like that. They're out there because they're either not good or always hurt. So
that's fair.
I just wanted to point that out and get your thoughts on it.
Well, listen, we've been trying to tell Charlie that for years, that the reason they're not on a roster is because they're not good. And they're out there for a reason, right? Or they're just way overpriced that the Giants or any other team for that matter is not going to overpay for their services. So what's going to happen is they're going to wait, and then they're going to come to their senses. And
Thank you, Joel.
I mean, it looks like
no problem.
There's a lot of guys out there that are on that are just out there because they want too much money.
Hey, look, and you're right. If you look at the on-the-field stuff that could short-circuit the team, I think that's one of the top ones on the list.
God, there's no question. I mean,
we know that, though.
But you know what? In my opinion, if you go down the list and you look at the positions on the football team and the worst you have, John, that you're talking about just one position, that's a good thing. Because you could sit there and look at the roster and go, okay, here's the linebackers, here's the DBs, and here's the offensive line, huh? Well, then you got, but we really collectively every time we get on the program, it's always the offensive line. It hasn't been anything else.
That's
a good thing.
We have a minute. We're getting to it.
It's time for everyone's
favorite. All right,
where am
I at? I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegel?
19 and
I don't
have
20 and 14.
Memory.
22 NFL
hey,
season.
Hey, 20 and 14,
wow. Hundreds
folks.
Of players.
Fiegel's with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so.
John Schmelt.
All right, here we go, Jeff. Really quick. Did you play with Jeff Fiegel's? Jeff, did you play with Rod McSwain?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I did.
Where'd you play with Rod McSwain?
Patriots.
Correct. Very good. All right, 1-for-1. That was a tough one, I thought. Okay.
Great guy. That's why I remember in McSwain. How can you?
That's a good name. That's true. Yeah. Did you play with George Wunsley? George Wunsley.
George Wunsley. I'm going to say no. Come on. Wunsley.
You play with George Wunsley, W-O-N-S-L-E-Y, on that same Patriots team in 1989.
Oh, well, I can't even, I'm guessing D-line?
Running back.
Wunsley.
You got McSwain on that team, though.
McSwain was, yeah, good guy.
It's a good name, too.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to head out to practice, folks. Make sure you check out coverage of practice on Giants.com. We'll hear from Evan Ingram and Davis Webb later on in the day. We'll have that for you on Giants.com as well. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for being part of the show. We'll see you on Monday on Giants.com. Have a fantastic day, everybody.
Have a happy Mother's Day, all the moms that are watching.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're
have
welcome.
A great Mother's Day. Thank you to the moms out there. Obviously, none of us would be here without you.
Nope.
Have a great one.
Thanks.